everybody. I'm honored to be among you here this afternoon to talk about the Egyptian revolution. I'm grateful to the organizers of the Israeli Effort ID for inviting me and for organizing such a great event. Before coming, I thought I have an easy job to do. I will just be talking to you about the past year of my life. But in fact, I discovered it's not an easy job at all. So I will need you to help. I will hope for a short while. Let's consider my talk as a starter. But our main dish, being in a cafeteria, is the discussion. So I'll just talk for 10 minutes, and then I'd love to have a discussion where we can, like, I can share you more of what I know about Egypt and listen to your ideas. Okay? Well, there is no easy way to start talking about the Egyptian revolution, but let me say that for me, the first step towards January 2011 started back in the year 2000, thanks to the Second Palestinian Intifada. I remember back then that for the first time in decades, Egyptians took to the streets in thousands, supporting the Palestinian struggle and demands. I also remember that for the first time back then, we as socialists proved right, and people saw that what we were talking about for many years, that Mubarak regime is the major ally to the Israeli state, they saw that this is right. People took to the streets to support their brothers and sisters in Palestine against the Israeli oppression, and they were faced by the oppression of Mubarak's regime. They were brutally attacked by the police, they were detained. So it suddenly became like very clear for them the connection between Israel and Mubarak. For the first time, the slogan we used to chant for years in the demonstrations, saying, in order to liberate Jerusalem, we must liberate Egypt. For the first time, people actually adopted this slogan in the demonstrations supporting Palestine. The solidarity movement that started back then marked the beginning of a new era in Egypt, an era of political tension and struggle. The limitations and problems of Mubarak regimes were exposed, and the impact of the new liberal economic policies was hitting almost everyone in Egypt. A movement for political change started in the year 2005, followed by a strong wave of workers' struggle in the year 2006, and another strong campaign for solidarity with Gaza during the Gaza War. From the year 2000, the face of Egypt has changed. The tension escalated, and a new generation of political activists appeared. The calm Egypt we knew before disappeared. And here I come to the juicy part, what happened in January 2011. The night before the 25th of January, I was talking and discussing with some of my comrades who helped in mobilizing for the day. We were discussing our expectations of that day. All of us, even those who were really active in the mobilization, anticipated we'd only have like few strong marches in the streets of Cairo and the other cities, some clashes with the police, and that's it. That's the whole thing that we were expecting. But we all proved wrong. What happened that day was something Egypt never witnessed before. And for me, as someone who have participated in almost all the big demonstrations in Egypt during the past decade, I was amazed with what I saw. Tens of thousands of Egyptians were marching in the streets of Egypt, in almost every city in Egypt, chanting, "The people want to change the regime." They were also chanting, "Bread, freedom, and social justice." For 18 days, people gathered in Tahrir Square. This is the main square in Egypt. Tahrir means liberation. They gathered in Tahrir Square, they gathered in all the other main squares in all the Egyptian cities. They gathered for 18 days around one clear demand, the departure of Mubarak. Mubarak for them was the representative of a regime that deprived Egyptians of almost everything. Dignity, freedom, proper living. And his departure meant an end of an era and the beginning of a new, better one. On the 11th of February, Mubarak stepped down. Millions of Egyptians considered that the revolution achieved its final goal, its final victory. So they decided to just leave the squares, leave the streets, and go back to their normal lives, expecting that something really happened, a change, they will feel a change in their lives. They thought that the revolution is just an event. It has a starting point and it has an ending point, and that we reached the ending point. But of course, those who thought so were so wrong. It was proved that revolution is a process. And the Egyptian revolution was in fact a very strong public revolt against the policies adopted by Mubarak and his regime over the past 30 years. The millions who took to the streets exploded after years and years of living under the neoliberal policies that restructured the relations of production in Egypt, that resulted in high poverty and unemployment rates, and a severe deterioration in the public services. People also revolted against decades of dictatorship, not only in terms of restricting organized political activity, but also a dictatorship that affected the day-to-day lives of millions of Egyptians, that really suffered from police brutality and oppression and corruption. And here, there was this important incident that happened a year before the revolution that shows to what extent this dictatorship was really hitting everybody. A young man from Alexandria, a young man of 28 years, his name was Khaled Said. I think all the Egyptians here would know him. Khaled Said was tortured to death by the Egyptian police. A few hours, for no reason, a few hours after his death, all the social media sites on the internet had his photo that showed how brutally he was attacked by the police, and that showed the unbelievable violence that was used. As a result of that, a strong movement against police brutality and against torture started, and a series of big demonstrations were organized against the Ministry of Interior. This movement is seen by many as one of the steps that led to the revolution. Well, back to the third major component of Mubarak policies and the third main reason why people were to the streets. It's his relation with the imperialist states and especially Israel. Since he came to power, Mubarak was trying to establish Egypt as the most reliable regional power. And by reliable, I mean, of course, from the point of view of the United States and Israel. He was trying to establish Egypt as a state that safeguards the imperialist interest in the Middle East. And for so many years, he succeeded in doing this. But in the last decade, he faced a problem. The peace process in the region was collapsing. We witnessed the Second Intifada, the Lebanon War, the Gaza War. Egyptians became aware of the role played by Mubarak against the Palestinian struggle, and the rejection to his cooperative policies with imperialism was escalating. The revolution was a reaction against all of that. The millions who took to the streets considered that overthrowing Mubarak means an end to these policies, an end to poverty, an end to dictatorship, and an end to the cooperation with imperialism. But is that possible? Well, what happened last year answered the question. No, this is not possible. Changing these policies means much more than changing Mubarak, much more than changing one person. This is what a minority of us knew on the day Mubarak stepped down. We knew back then that the revolution is a process that started, and it will take a long time for it to end and achieve its final victory. Until now, the revolution didn't achieve its final victory. It didn't achieve anything sustainable or tangible to the people, and it's still ongoing. And let me here say that overthrowing Mubarak was, in fact, the easy part in the revolution. It was the part that everybody agreed on. The millions who took to the streets and all the political currents from the far left to the conservative right agreed that Mubarak must leave. And he did. But then what? Here the problem started. What is the alternative to Mubarak? Which way should the revolution go? These were questions asked and different answers were given, but none agreed on. Looking to the events of the past year, we can see how different political factions are trying to concentrate on only one aspect of the revolution, and that is the democratic one. As if the struggle going on in Egypt is all about democracy in the very simple sense of the word. The constitution, the elections, the parliament, the new president, and so on. But what about the other aspects? And especially, what about the social justice? Nothing. Nobody is tackling this issue. Well, during the days of Mubarak, people used to die literally fighting for bread. And a year after Mubarak left, people still die fighting for bread. We can actually stay for long hours talking about how miserable the living conditions of Egyptians are and how nobody is really trying to change. Nobody in power is really trying to change that. I think nowadays, anyone looking to Egypt from the outside would only see the debate about the coming president, as if nothing else is important. And in fact, this is what SCAF, which is the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, which is now governing Egypt, this is what SCAF and the conservative political powers want to highlight. They want to highlight that it's all about democracy, that what's happening in Egypt is all about democracy. One of the main problems now facing the revolution is that those who actually made the revolution are not the ones taking the decision concerning the future of Egypt. Let me here go back to the days before the fall of Mubarak. On the 8th of February, people started to question the future of the revolution. They have been in the streets for days, and nothing is happening, and it doesn't seem nothing will happen. They started asking, would Mubarak really step down? What if he doesn't? Are we going to stay in the streets for the rest of our lives? But then came the answer. The Egyptian working class entered the scene with a wave of strong strikes that almost paralyzed both the industrial and the service sectors. And that was it. Mubarak stepped down. The revolution won the first round thanks to the working class. But now, after 1 year, where is the working class? They are still there, they are still working, they are still struggling, they are still trying to improve their working condition. But where are they in the decision-making process? What's the role in shaping the future of Egypt? They don't exist. Nobody is considering their existence or their opinion or their demands or anything. Even after the revolution, a law was decreed that bans workers from striking, which is very ironic, actually. Well, to cut a long story short, the struggle now in Egypt is between those who want to limit the revolution to some amendments, less corruption and more democracy, and those who want to take it to the utmost. In the first camp, we find three major players: SCAF, the Muslim Brothers, and the remnants of the old regime. In the other camp, we find the more radical forces, whether organized or not. In every battle during the last year, the contradiction between the two camps becomes clear. And although at some points it looks like things are settled for the first camp, soon enough a new outbreak occurs to prove the opposite. Still, there is a revolutionary spirit in Egypt. Although it might look like Egypt is now calm, but this is not true. It's boiling from the inside, and the revolutionary spirit is still among many people. Before I end my talk, I want to touch on one last thing, and that is the Palestinian struggle. Egypt's standpoint towards the Palestinian issue is part and parcel of the struggle within Egypt that I've been talking about. Those who want things to continue as they are, with few cosmetics, want Egypt's relations to imperialism and Israel to continue as they are. This is what SCAF is talking about. SCAF is saying that we will respect all the treaties with Israel. The Muslim Brothers are confirming the same. However, the radicalization of the revolution means that this issue is raised every other time. It was raised when people stormed into the Israeli embassy and raised the Palestinian flag on it a few months ago. And it was raised lately when SCAF humiliated the national pride of the Egyptians after it knelt to the USA in the NGO's foreign funding case. When the Egyptian revolution achieves its victory, its stance toward imperialism, Zionism, would radically change. Whenever I'm asked what the main outcome of the revolution, my answer is always, Egyptians might have not achieved many of the things they came out for. But the main lesson they learned is that they are powerful, they can change whatever they want. They will not accept the kind of life they lived before. And as long as their life continues the way it used, as miserable as it used to be, they will continue to struggle till they achieve their final victory, till they have what they went out for in the first place: bread, freedom, social justice. Thank you.